WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hemfling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Free Enterprise Society is also a member of the Truth Attack Coalition. On this program, I like to talk about things that affect Americans' liberty. For those that know me, income tax is one of my pet peeves, as it is destroying Americans' desire to work or be successful. My goal is to eliminate the income tax for everyone. Now, just think of that. The federal government could get along fine without the income tax. This is a big question among people. If they were only following the law, and when I talk about the law, I mean the U.S. Constitution. This is the supreme law of the land. This is the document that made this country. This is the document that created the Senate and the House that spits on that Constitution every day. It created the office of the president. And it has very strict guidelines on what they can use, get money from, and how they can spend it. If the law and the Constitution were followed, we would probably not need 10% of our current budget. Imagine that. Most Americans could nearly buy a new car with cash in a year or two. Now, as I said, this Constitution is the formula that made this country great. I think the reason we're having so many problems is because we're no longer following the Constitution. And all you got to do is read it, and you can get a copy on freeenterprisesociety.com. Now, there's all kinds of things happening in the news. You've got Judge Kavanaugh. We might mention a little bit on that, because my concern there is constitutional issues. But it's really interesting, you know, the people that don't like him are very concerned that he's an originalist on the Constitution. Because being an originalist, he may threaten certain precedents. They want him to respect any precedent that's out there. And there are a lot of court precedents that are contrary to our Constitution, and they need to be removed, in my view. So it's kind of interesting to watch how desperate some of these people get. Now, if you want to find out more about the income tax, you can also go to truth-attack.com. We have a couple of a lot of information there on the income tax, why the income tax doesn't apply to the average American. We have a documentary there, DVD video you can watch for free right now. It's five attorneys and a former criminal investigating agent for the Internal Revenue Service showing that the average American is not even required to file an income tax return. Something you should check out. We're getting into tax season coming up for next year. You owe it to yourself to maybe look at that. But we're going to talk about the IRS. We're going to maybe talk about a little bit about Kavanaugh. We have a great guest today. He's an attorney, Nathan McPherson. And this attorney, he's serious about restoring the U.S. Constitution. And there aren't many attorneys that I'm not even sure there are many attorneys who even read the Constitution. I met many attorneys that even in law school, they said they never actually read the Constitution. But this man did. But the numbers are hopefully growing beyond Nathan. His father was the same way, and it is the same way. And there are a few others that I'm meeting today. But Nathan, it's welcome. It's good to have you on the
program.
Great
to be here. Yeah, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You have all kinds of passions. I mean, you believe in homeschooling, religious freedom. You're against the Federal Reserve System being an unconstitutional entity. And you also believe that we need to get back to the Constitution and read it and follow it once again.
Yes, indeed. It would sure be nice if we could actually follow the Constitution. And maybe my children would grow up in freedom instead of whatever we got going on now, which is pretty darn crazy world.
Well, you talk about education. I know you know a lot about Common Core, which is basically an anti-American training program. I mean, it seems to me this is not. Is this unlike indoctrination? The CIA has even bragged about doing this kind of thing in other countries and destroyed them. It seems like this should be illegal to sit here and teach anti-American, teach fascism in our schools in this country.
It's treasonous. And, you know, for one thing, the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction over education. So for them to be pushing down the Commie Corps on the local school districts is unconstitutional. But again, like you just mentioned, it's treasonous. The Common Core is all leftist indoctrination, United Nations, Universal Declaration of Human Rights in place of our Bill of Rights. And, you know, then it's no wonder now that everybody thinks you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent, as opposed to the other way around.
Well, this is kind of what I want to mention. I mean, they did this before on Judge Roy Moore in Alabama. Just
yep.
Accusations from the past that I don't know. They may have more meat than what they have against Kavanaugh, but I believe that cost him the election. And
right.
Regardless of if you like the man or not, it's just ridiculous to me. If you cannot take an action in the court, it should not be brought up in the news. I mean, even the news media, I think, is complicit in something. This must be, you're destroying people's lives. There must be something that can be done about that at some point. But this, you know, I think I could find five women to accuse someone from 40 years ago, 4 years in the past, if I paid them enough money. And which brings up, apparently some people are actually offering money, trolling for people to come forward on Kavanaugh.
Holy smokes. It definitely doesn't comport with common law due process.
How can that not be a crime? I just wonder about that. But
well, historically, under biblical law, false accusations were criminal. You know, our common law due process is founded in the Deuteronomical law, where God tells us you need the testimony of two or three witnesses, and if you accuse someone falsely, then you're held accountable to their punishment, and so forth. And that was then codified into our Bill of Rights and in our common law heritage. I mean, it goes back, even in English common law, it goes back millennia. So what we're seeing now is just turning things upside down. But again, it's going back to that civil law, United Nations type lack of due process legal system.
Well, I just want people to really stand. I think people have to start standing up for this innocence, presumed innocence. We are all presumed innocent. I mean, in the past, and most countries still are like this, you're not presumed innocent, you're presumed guilty. You have to prove yourself not guilty, which is impossible. And even in this country, right. We had some terrible things happen, which I'm sure you're aware of, like some of the trials that they put on were physical trials, where you carry a hot rod of steel, and mm-hmm. If you dropped it, you were guilty. And if you carried it so far, 3 feet, you was innocent. Well, then you're fine, but you don't have any hands anymore. Or they tie you up and throw you in a river, and if you drown, you're innocent. I mean, how stupid.
Right. it's like the
trials by ordeal. And that actually happened here. And I think that could, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that probably happens to some extent in countries now. Not here.
That's where we get the expression trial by fire.
Yes.
Burn the witch.
You know, our system has a lot of problems, and you know that I've been complaining about them for 30 years or so in regards to the income taxes. That's another area you seem to always be guilty and prove yourself innocent. But still, I think it's the best legal system in the world. So.
Right, and that's where, so it comes down to burden of proof and where the burden of proof shifts. So there's an interesting presumption of government regularity that, you know, based on my experience, we ought not have a presumption of government regularity. We ought to have a presumption of government irregularity, because I've seen IRS notices dated a week in the future. We get our mail from IRS for our clients, and the date of the letter is a week from now. It's pretty amazing that they have this time travel ability, that they can, you know, write letters in the future and then come back into the past and mail us the letters and so forth. And we also see this on IRS transcripts, where not only can you get a transcript today, October 3rd, 2018, that has something dated, say, October 7th or October 10th, 2018, but also you can get a transcript today that says that on June 6th of 2018, this happened. And you can get a transcript a week from now that says on June 6th, something else happened. So the IRS transcripts are a mess. IRS record keeping is a mess. IRS letters are a mess. And that's been affecting my clients because IRS is telling me my clients owe money, and we have records that my clients have paid money. One case right now that we have, the client is in his 80s. He was an airline pilot in the 1980s and was involved in a tax shelter along with over 2,000 other airline pilots and other executives and so forth. After a decade of litigation, the tax court held that this shelter to be unlawful for tax avoidance purposes, although, you know, even IRS held that it had the semblance of legitimacy. They just said, no, it doesn't work. So it wasn't some illegal scheme or anything. It was an investment. They just said, no, it doesn't work that way to avoid taxes. But during the trial, two IRS counsel, these are lawyers who work for the IRS who are involved in this case, conspired with two of the taxpayers involved in the case to fix the outcome. And they said, we'll give you a sweetheart deal if you work with us to make sure that all of these other people lose. And they didn't tell anybody. They kept the secret, of course, secret from the court,
that's nice.
Secret from all
yeah.
the other parties. Yeah, so everybody thought that this was a real trial. You know, going back to common law, due process, innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Well, how about you go to a court of law? Well, you know, the first problem is the tax court is part of the executive branch, not even part of the judicial branch. But then you have IRS lawyers who have fixed the outcome of the case and not told anybody. And so you think that these witnesses are on the stand and they're testifying and so forth. Well, some of the testimony was a little bit tricky, and one of the guys accidentally started to say, yeah, you know, according to our agreement or whatever. And so counsel for my client and the others in his position figured things out. And finally, the truth came out that, yeah, we fixed the outcome and made a secret agreement. Tax court said, oh, that doesn't matter. Yeah,
oh,
you know, this thing doesn't work anyway, so everybody owes the money anyway. So, of course, it was appealed to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit said, yeah, I don't think so. You know, you can't fix a case. There's got to be some consequences for that. So the tax court came back and said, oh, yeah, okay, well, you know, no big deal, though, still. So it went back again, the second time in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit said, no, there needs to be consequences for this. So it went back, and the tax court said, okay, everybody only owes a third of what they otherwise would owe. So, you know, you get a two-thirds discount. Great. Fast forward, IRS levies my client, paid in full, everything, except, oh, they levy the money, but they don't put it in the right spot. And so they keep levying my client. And then we finally sort everything out. We had to go to taxpayer advocate. And they said, well, IRS did everything right. And I said, no, you need to look into things. Again, there's this, yeah, my client must be guilty because, you know, he didn't pay his taxes, supposedly. So we had to press the issue. And finally they said, okay, you know, this is how much it is. Everything's great. And then they came back later and changed the numbers and said, oh, sorry, we recalculated things. After everything was finalized, he really does owe more money. And I said, we have a tax court order that shows this is how much he owes, and these records show that he already paid it. And now they're still fighting us and saying, no, you can't challenge liability because it was determined by court. I'm saying, yeah, it was determined by the court, and the court said he owed this, and this is how much he paid. This is how screwed up things are.
That's outrageous. Well, one day they're going to get there, I think. Yeah.
Since the 1980s, it's been going on. Yeah, presumption of government regularity, burden of proof shifting to the citizen. Guilty until you prove yourself.
Yeah, if the IRS wants to be respected, they should not treat people like with disrespect. And you're right. I mean, the presumption of correctness is with the IRS. And that's not true really in hardly anything. But damn, they don't have to prove you owe something. You have to prove you don't. And that's ridiculous to me. But, well, there's the music. We've got a break coming up here. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with attorney Nathan McPherson. We're talking about the IRS. We're probably going to talk about the IRS and the passports. Stay tuned for more after this break.
born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on jurisdiction. When the U.S. territories applied for admission into the Union as states, the overarching principle that drove this decision was the desire to determine their own destinies and to be removed from what the U.S. Constitution calls the exclusive legislative jurisdiction of the Congress over the properties owned by the U.S. government. When what is now the state of Washington removed itself from this exclusive jurisdiction, it was required to write its own constitution, which would provide for a representative republican form of government for its citizens, such as the case for every state which joined our union. Today, our U.S. government officials and bureaucrats have lost sight of this fact and now want to reassert exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the states and turn them into administrative subdivisions as though we were territories again. Sorry, U.S. government, but the Constitution says you don't have that authority. And Americans are beginning to realize that our founders intended for the individual states to either succeed or fail based on their own laws and policies. If the people don't like the way a particular state operates, they can move to another one where they do. The way our federal government operates today, the entire nation either succeeds or fails based on the policies of 535 legislators in Washington, D.C. And from what we can see from its history of failed social policies, I don't think these guys could pour sand out of a boot if the directions were written on the heel. We need to replace the socialist mindset in Washington, D.C. and our state governments with a restored American view of law and government.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Determination. Pass it on. Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car, and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Now, now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Liberty Works Radio Network. I do want to comment on Liberty Works Radio Network. I believe it is going to be the future of media. I think it's going to be the new mainstream media, this network and networks like it. I mean, what's considered the mainstream media has just become like a propaganda arm like you might have seen in Russia or something. It's just amazing me. You know, when I grew up, I thought some of these, you know, places were were intelligent. Well, no more. But anyway, if you like this program or others, this is a listener-supported network. If you can, you can go to lwrn.net. You can leave a one-time donation. I think you can maybe set up a monthly automatic donation and help keep this network on the air. If you want to write this number down, it is a call-in number. It's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions or comments for my guest. We're back with my guest, Attorney Nathan McPherson. We're talking about the IRS. We're trying to talk about the passports and revocations of passports by the IRS. And I think we probably should get to that, Nathan. Congress passed a law, and they haven't really been enforcing it a whole lot. But if you have over $50,000 in taxes, they're going to start revoking your passport or not renewing it. So tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, Congress pulled a fast one on us. This was one of the last things that Barry Sotoro or Barack Obama or whatever that guy's name was who posed as president did before he finally flew away in the helicopter, which was one of the happiest times in recent memory, seeing him fly away in that helicopter. It was called the FAST Act. That's why I say he pulled a fast one on us, or they pulled a fast one on us, fixing America's surface transportation, which is, you know, they always bury these things, right? And
well, that's transportation bill. Okay.
Well, surface transportation. If you're going by surface transportation, you know, car, bus, train, whatever, you can use a passport card. You don't need a passport. But anyway, what it has to do with IRS and passports is beyond me. Other than they just wanted to slip it in somewhere, and get that one in to keep us in our cage here, so we can't travel. But yeah, that's like you said. If you owe $50,000 or more, and it's still uncertain as to whether that includes interest, penalties, et cetera. And again, it's the presumption of guilt, and you got to prove yourself innocent. So it's if IRS alleges that you owe this money, then they send a notice to the Department of State to either revoke, not issue, not renew your passport. And we've really seen this ramp up in the past. Oh, I'd say in this calendar year, really, or for the past 12 months, roughly, of IRS sending notices, really pointing this out that they're going to do this. I have not yet had a client whose passport was revoked or denied or suspended, but
I had a call from a person, and he did have over $50,000, and most of it was interest and penalty, so I'm pretty sure that's
okay.
That's the deal. I mean, that's the thing. You can have just a few thousand in taxes and
correct.
End up being owing a bunch of money. I remember woman was going to get a dollar refund, so she didn't bother and almost lost her house over it. I mean, dealing with the IRS is like, I mean, what are they dense or something when you show it? Like in your case, you're showing them that he did everything that he's supposed to do, and they just act like you didn't say nothing.
Correct. Yeah.
So anyway,
your underlying taxes can be $10,000, $15,000, and with interest and penalties and all the nonsense, it can be over the $50,000 threshold.
Well, I had another
correct.
Person call me who was denied a passport for not giving a Social Security number. As far as I know, he doesn't owe a dime. I mean, to me, this is like, and he's not accused, he's not convicted of anything,
and
neither of these people are. These allegations, not even allegations, but assessing somebody something doesn't mean they owe anything yet.
Correct, and in fact, a few things here. Number one, the assessments are often invalid. My dad just ran up to the Supreme Court. Of course, they denied certiorari on this case, but there was Sixth Circuit precedent that on challenging the assessments. which again goes to show we're not afraid to try novel issues or to really go aggressive, because assessments often are invalid. And I've had assessments successfully invalidated, where, you know, that's one of the things we do as a matter of course is challenge the assessment. And I've had IRS come back and say, yeah, we didn't do it right. Your client doesn't owe a dime. So, again, if you don't press the issue, they just say, oh, the assessment must mean you owe the money, right? Kind of like talking to people at a barbecue. You tell them, you got a letter from IRS saying, you know, to pay them money, and they say, oh, well, why don't you pay your taxes, you dirtbag? Like, well, you know, sorry, but you're wrong. Another issue there on the Social Security issue, it's both in Title 22 and Title 26, Title 26 being the tax code, that if you have been issued a Social Security number, the federal law says you're required to put it on your passport application, which makes you wonder, is the right to travel actually like a privilege here, or is it actually a fundamental right to travel? But the good news is a lot of my clients don't have Social Security numbers, especially their children, but even my adult clients, many of them don't. And thus far under the law, if you have not been issued a Social Security number, you're not required to get one in order to get a passport. That seems to have slipped through the cracks there with the FAST Act.
This has been a concern of mine for decades. Yeah. This passport application had the IRS thing on there for a long time, and
right.
But until recently, if you didn't fill it out, nobody did anything about it because nobody cared. State Department couldn't care less, apparently. Trump wants to build this wall. Okay, well, fine. But what I'm always worried about with that type of thing is we're going to be walled in. I mean, it seems to me, and other people brought this up to me, if you're denied a passport and you're not convicted of something, at least, I mean, that's you're being imprisoned. And some people may think that's weird, but it doesn't matter how big the prison is or how small it is.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
a lot of people do business in Canada or Mexico or Europe, and now they would not be allowed to do that.
So. Right. You can be prosecuted for kidnapping, for keeping somebody in a house or a room or, you know, anything. It doesn't matter whether it's a broom closet or if it's a 5,000-square-foot house. And so the same thing. If you are, without due process, denied a passport, which begs the question why we even need a passport to travel. That's a whole other issue. It means, you can't get out of the country, which could mean you can't even drive from here to Alaska, from the lower 48 to Alaska, across Canada.
That goes hand in hand with the Real ID Act on the driver's license. So now here in California, they're making a big deal that if you don't get this new upgraded license, you won't be able to fly or do anything. You can do that with a passport.
Correct. So California, we've basically come to a national ID. People have been fighting the national ID since, the founding of the John Birch Society. And back then, most people thought they were crazy.
He has more common sense.
But the good news is if you don't have a Social Security number, you still are off the hook, as it were. And it seems the government doesn't really know what to do with you if you don't have a Social Security number. So that's a whole interesting thing.
I think you're going to get some interest. I think there's some interest in this. I mean, I don't know. Are you or the McPherson group thinking about doing something with the passport issue? Or if you get some people
We've been approached by somebody who is interested in doing that. And it is something we'd like to pursue if we have a client who wants to do so. Because it's quite the constitutional issue here, and
I'm outraged that the IRS is involved with the passport. I mean,
debtor's prison. We basically have come to a debtor's prison without any kind of due process. At least theoretically, in a debtor's prison, you have a final judgment of a court of law. Here, like we mentioned, it's just an assessment.
Okay, we got a call here from Jason.
Hello,
are you there?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jason.
How are you?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, great show. And, this is actually, when I got your email today, Steve, and when I heard the passport subject being discussed, I said, oh, my gosh, I got to get on this. Yeah, this is such a scam. Obviously, the income tax scam and the Social Security scam. This passport scam is something that 99.9% of Americans have no clue. I actually wrote an article about this years ago. I don't know if you guys remember this magazine called Republic Magazine, but if you look at the application, I don't know if you guys have done this before, but if you look at the application on the passport, they're telling you their authority for demanding the Social Security number comes from Title 26-6039E. Yep. And I said, you know, I know that from my experience and understanding being a Save a Patriot member all these years, I knew that Social Security number was voluntary. So how could a number that's voluntary for Americans in the first place be mandatory to put on a passport? I said, something's wrong. So I got out my Internal Revenue Code, and I looked at Section 6039, and it says information to be provided for the United States passport. Information required under subsection A shall include a taxpayer's TIN, if any. Well, what's a TIN? A TIN is a taxpayer identification number, but we can't just assume, as you guys know, what a TIN is. We can't assume what it means. There's a legally defined definition for that. So if you look at definition under the Code of Federal Regulations, 26 CFR 301-6109-13, it has a definition of IRS individual taxpayer identification number, and it specifically says the term IRS individual taxpayer identification number means a taxpayer identifying number issued to an alien individual by the IRS. The term IRS individual taxpayer identification number does not refer to a Social Security number or an account number for use in employment for wages. For purposes of this section, the term alien individual means an individual who is not a citizen or national of the United States. I mean, it's right in our laws in black and white that the code section 6039E on the passport that the State Department says is their authority for demanding your Social Security number refers to a TIN, not a SSN, and a TIN is for aliens, not citizens. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, Jason, I remember the Republic magazine. Maybe it's time for upgrading that article of yours, or maybe sending it on to me. But let's see if Nathan has any comments on that. It's getting a little technical there for radio, but
yeah, I'm sorry, but I just had to. I mean, it's really so unbelievable that
it's obvious.
That,
yeah,
it's in black and white, and it's just a scam. I mean, for these State Department to be writing this code section when the code section does not refer to Social Security numbers but taxpayer identification numbers, and the TIN, these taxpayer identification numbers, refer to aliens. They're not the dual Social Security numbers. So I mean, we should all be revolting over this. So and I got one of those letters from our friends in the IRS. They won't issue me a passport, but I am going to apply for one without my Social Security number, and we're going to test this. Mr. McPherson, is this something that, and this law, I think that, you know, unfortunately, this is a law, but have you heard anybody trying to test this up to the Supreme Court? Because this should be challenged to the Supreme Court, because the federal government does not have any authority to limit your ability to travel. What do you think about that, Mr. Christian?
Yeah, I have been approached by people, and there have been discussions because this is quite egregious. You'll want to check out the Code of Federal Regulations. 22 CFR 51.60, if you want to write that down again, that's 22 CFR 51.60.
All right, I've got to interrupt you guys. Sorry, there's the music. We got a hard break coming up. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Attorney Nathan McPherson. We're talking about the IRS and denying passports. Stay tuned for more after this break.
Thank you.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
And now, for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
Are you a conservative? Do you consider yourself a liberal? If you find yourself using either of these terms when discussing your political worldview, you may have fallen into a trap. Let me explain. When the president or any elected or appointed official takes his oath of office, he invokes the wrath of God against him if he acts unfaithfully to that oath. Well, this is a serious thing, and so a specific standard is declared. The oath taken declares an allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. The oath does not say, I hereby solemnly promise to be conservative. It does not say, I hereby swear that I will follow what are presently considered to be conservative principles. As you know, these things called conservative principles can vary not only from person to person, but from time to time. And that's the trap. So what's the alternative? Well, we seem to need a fixed standard, don't we? One that isn't slick or squishy, one we can depend on. Happily, it does exist, and it's called the Constitution. It was intended to be a fixed standard and ought to be seen and taught that way. The provisions and principles in the United States Constitution are not so complicated that they have to be left to experts. If they were studied and understood by us all, we could do a much better job of holding our elected representatives accountable to their oaths of office. As an older attorney who has seen the slide away from American and constitutional principles, I am hoping and praying for a return to constitutional understanding and fidelity. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you The American View.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
The American dream was nurtured in the beginning by Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest defenders of liberty in our history. It was Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence that proclaimed God's plan for government to be ordained. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. He clearly understood that history has proven government to be the tool of the greedy and the power-hungry, that mankind, seeking safety, is forever falling into the trap of total reliance on government. He warned, "It is error alone that needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself."
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Did you know that no Christian church accepted contraception as morally permissible before 1930? Discover why and how to work with a woman's natural times of being fertile and infertile. Learn a 99% effective method of natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website, ccli.org, or call 800-745-8252.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Well, why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Heffling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. If you want to write this number down, it's 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions from my guest. We're back with my guest, Attorney Nathan McPherson. We're talking about the IRS. We're talking about the passports and the IRS being involved with denying or revoking some of those passports, which I think is totally outrageous. But before we go on, Nathan, you need to give out your website and let people know how to get a hold of you if they want to.
Pretty easy. Yeah, www.beatirs.com.
I love that website.
.com. Thank you. Yeah, back in the, early 1980s or something, my dad got the 800 number, 1-800-BEAT-IRS. And he was on a radio show, I think it might have been like KFYI in Phoenix or something, radio host. Can you do that? Can you have an 800 number that says BEAT-IRS? He said, First Amendment.
Yep, I did.
So then when the internet, when Al Gore invented the internet then, of course, my dad snagged www.beatirs.com, BEATIRS.com.
Yes, and thank God for L.
Yes. And it's funny when I talk to people at IRS and they want my email or, they know about the website, we joke about it.
One of your main businesses is helping people with getting rid of debt from the IRS. It's not really owed, I assume, and it's
yes.
Not taking anything away from you, but it's just to me. I watch this whole. There's such an industry around this fake and I think unconstitutional income. Got H&R Block, all the people filing. Then you got groups like you that basically is your bread and butter is defending people against the IRS when they're abusive. I mean, it's just sad that we have to have it that way. It seems like such a waste of time and money on everybody's part, where we could all be getting along and being working and making money and riding around and vacationing or whatever we want to do, back to the passport a little bit here. And that's...
Yeah. I wanted to point out the Code of Federal Regulations says the department may refuse to issue a passport to an applicant who fails to provide his or her Social Security account number on his or her passport application. That's 22 CFR 51.60 F as in Foxtrot. And then under that Internal Revenue Code 26 USC 6039 ECHO Bravo 1 that says the taxpayer's TIN, if any, is required on a passport application, that's in the Internal Revenue Code. If you go to Section 7701, definitions of the Internal Revenue Code 41 TIN, it says the term TIN means the identifying number assigned to a person under Section 6109. And if you go to 26 USC 6109, down D, it says use of Social Security account number. It says that the Social Security number is the identifying number if you have one. Bottom line, as to the statutes, now whether it's constitutional or not is a whole other issue, of course, but as to the statutes, if you have an SSN, the Internal Revenue Code and Title 22 say that you have to put it on your passport application.
Americans are being punished, and they're not convicted of any crimes. And it just seems like there should be something serious that could be done about this. And I would think that there will be people of means in this situation. A lot of Americans don't travel a lot. I have a passport. I don't use it a lot. But there are people, if they're, in business and stuff, might use it quite a bit, and they'd be more likely to have a $50,000 tax debt just because that's, everybody... If you're not having problems with the IRS, you're not doing something right almost today because they seem to give everybody trouble.
It's about. Right. And this also ties in with, remember, if you wanted to expatriate and give up your citizenship, that I think that was also under the last administration that all that was really ramped up. If, in the opinion of the U.S. Attorney General, you were leaving the country for the purposes of tax avoidance, then they would permanently ban you from the country. And in order to just do a regular expatriation, you'd have to first pay your taxes in full before they'd like release you or whatever. So they've been ramping up for this Fast Act, Fast One, for a while. And yeah, it needs to be challenged because it's patently unconstitutional.
Well, I think, you know, maybe some smart attorneys should be putting some letters together and encouraging people to write to congressmen and the president. And I don't know. Trump, I don't think, would like some of these things that we're talking about.
No, and it makes me wonder if he's going to... Although, you know, one of the interesting things, so his 2018 law was in many respects good, but it also sort of closed the loophole of people deducting children as dependents when their children don't have a Social Security number. Most people, most CPAs and so forth, thought under the previous tax laws, if your children don't have a Social Security number, you don't get the exemption for them. You can't claim them as dependents. And that wasn't true. And many of my clients, like I mentioned, have children with no Social Security numbers because they're good fathers who are trying to protect their children from the rogue government. And they were still able to claim the exemption. You just had to jump through some hoops, and I showed them how to do that. Now, with the new one that eliminates that and gives you the child tax credit, you cannot claim without a Social Security number for the child. Mm. So that was actually in the 2018 law a negative for some of my clients.
Well, it's just
overall,
it's disturbing.
It was
I'm sure
direction.
Trump doesn't know all the ins and outs of these things, but it's disturbing that they seem to get more serious and they're getting more aggressive on Americans getting passports and traveling as opposed to people coming into this country with no documentation.
Yes.
They welcome them in.
Yes.
I mean, it's just idiotic.
Well, it's a push from the United Nations with their Millennium Goals and Agenda 21. It's now Agenda 25 now or whatever they changed it to. They want everyone in the entire world to be documented. I mean, it's right on their paperwork. And the United Nations is pushing it. They were even going up to Alaska and talking to local government officials in Alaska. And so, you know, more remote places where there are a lot of home births, a lot of undocumented. And we talk about undocumented immigrants. How about undocumented Americans who want to be undocumented? Because why do you need to be documented? If you have a baby...
Right. I'm sure Alaska likes the feds coming up there and the UN coming up there pushing
yes.
their weight around them.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they're pushing to have every person in the entire world documented and registered with the United Nations, and so this SSN passport issue is part of that.
Well, I think Trump's moving toward maybe getting out of the UN. I mean, he just got out of the World Court thing, which is, these are all good things. Most, you know,
there have been a lot of positive things in the past couple of years here.
Which, you know, wouldn't have come about with anybody else that I know of. That was on the presidential
thing. Yeah, that was the other candidate
wrong.
There.
Go ahead.
I can only imagine if Bernie the commie got in or... Ay. It's, you ever think you're just watching a B-rated movie, but it's actually life?
Well, I mean, when I grew up, these people in Congress seemed to have a brain. I mean, some of them just are so... I mean, you know, I don't even want to say the adjectives. I mean, they're like they have no brain at all. Pelosi and her comment about the Obama, well, you have to pass it to see what's in it. I mean, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And
she's still the leader of the Democratic Party there. I mean, so what does that say for the Democrats? Not that I'm defending Republicans particularly, but...
Right. Well, I guess the good news is on some of this, such as that, you know, people who have assessments that say they owe more than 50 grand, or even like my client there, and another client also in her 80s, husband suffering dementia. I mean, it's a sad, you know, it really upsets me that the IRS picks on people like this who are in poor health, advanced in age, you don't have all sorts of money coming in, and they're just going to hammer them and basically, you know, put the nails in the coffin.
Well, I've noticed, I think for decades, it seems like they like kicking people when they're down. And it's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, in some cases, yes. So the other client there, I demonstrated IRS, paid in full. Again, it's the account transcripts are mismatched and messed up. And I pointed out, oh, yeah, we'll fix it. Now she just got a notice of levy. Good news is, for both of these, there's a fairly simple fix that we can do, and that's a special kind of an offering compromise most people haven't heard of. We've discussed on your program a regular offering compromise, doubt of ability to pay, showing,
yes.
And we have a complex way that we can show, according to IRS, that you just can't pay the money, and therefore they ought to accept pennies on the dollars. I've gotten as low as $30 settlements for over $30,000 allegedly owed. There's another type, which is for doubt as to the liability, where we show, hey, according to all this, according to your records, IRS, this person doesn't owe the money, therefore go away. And I had a recent case, I believe that person's a listener of yours, where we kept trying to get IRS to recognize, no, according to how IRS does business, this person doesn't owe any money. And we got some weirdos at IRS who just, wouldn't listen. So we filed that, and boom, it was like lighting a fire under them. Right away, they corrected everything, came back to us, account transcripts zeroed out. So that's a special type of offering compromise that, many people probably haven't heard of. But it's one way to get the IRS to listen when you're trying to, grab them by the shoulders and shake them and say, wake up, you guys are messed up, fix your records. This is a way to get them to actually go and look at it and fix the records.
Yeah, I guess they have problems fixing records. I mean, I remember, not to date myself, but President Reagan, I remember the IRS put a lien on him just for practice, for fun, and then it got out of control. They couldn't figure out how to get it removed from him. I remember that.
Yep. Yep.
That's how goofed up they are over there.
Getting liens released. We've had clients with accepted offers in compromise, and then they get a notice from IRS, we're going to levy you again. And the good news on that is that we're usually able to get the offer in compromise through a collection due process appeals hearing, and then conclude the hearing with a special IRS form where IRS appeals retains jurisdiction, and you still have the right to go to tax court to enforce the offer in compromise against IRS if IRS screws up. So for these clients where IRS screws up after we've already made a deal and they paid their $30 or $100 or whatever little ransom money they paid to get out from the debt, I go back to the settlement officer and say, hey, you better fix this right quick because we have a deal, and here's the piece of paper that says that you are going to enforce this deal against IRS if they try to violate the deal. And they've been super apologetic every time I've had to do that and said, oh, I'll fix this right away. At that point, it's yes, sir, no, sir, no excuse, sir. Really, it's a way to really turn the tables and actually get some due process with IRS.
Well, let's go website or how to get a hold of you one more time. We're almost out of time.
BeatIRS.com, www.beatirs.com, beatirs.com.
All right, well, and, I think that, I don't know if you're really planning on anything on the passports. You probably should let Nathan know if you have a passport issue. If they build up enough interest, they may be able to do something, or there may be other firms involved. I mean, to me, this is going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
This could be a, unlike a class action where every American is automatically in. I mean, that would affect everybody.
Everybody's affected. Yes.
So, and I'd like to know, keep up on people's cases as well. And, I know a lot of members certainly will let me know if they're having any problems with the passport. But I just never thought, I didn't think I would see it go this far. Because it just defies our basic laws, All right. Well, there's the music, Nathan. I got to wrap it up. It was a great program. I'm glad you joined me. Thanks to all of you for listening on the Truth.com. I'll be hosting this program on Wednesdays. Also, check out truth-attack.com and freeenterprisesociety.com on how to get rid of that income tax.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the Fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444 to join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
This is Randall Yearout on Leaders. Our government leaders swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States before they're allowed to exercise the powers of their offices. This oath automatically requires those office holders to act as a check on usurped or abused power among those within any branch of the government. Why is it, then, that when the Congress assumes for itself powers reserved by the Constitution to the states or the people, the President doesn't object with a defense of the Constitution and refuse to execute unlawful legislation? Or when the President creates Soviet-style czars to violate the public rights, why doesn't the Congress speak up? Or when the court begins striking down the laws of the Union states in violation of the public rights and in favor of international norms, why don't the other two branches bring misdemeanor charges against those offending judges? It appears that our leaders in government think that a non-intervention policy on another branch's behavior is more virtuous than executing the oath they took to support and defend the Constitution. James Madison said in Federalist Paper 51 that if men were angels, no government would be necessary, and that if angels were our governors, no constitution would be necessary. Our constitution is necessary, however, and our public officials are proving to us the very reason this is so. The constitution outlines the restricted powers we, the people, gave to our governors. For our leaders to disobey them is to break the supreme law of the land, which is to be dealt with by impeachment and removal from office. I think the only way to effectively ensure the reinstatement of our American form of law and government is to replace nearly every last congressman with one who will honor his oath.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. She didn't just visit the sick and poor. She moved in with them because they needed help. Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.